ocean color scene. It's a beautiful thing, beautiful song. They never quite scaled the heights, or maybe they did. It was a brief flash, and then they went out. And I'll have you a bit of electro pop from France. I promised you last week. I got some really some new stuff just from the end of 2015 that you'll like. Some Father John Misty, some Jason Isbell. I did say to you last week, in what will be a first, I'll play you a song in Welsh that came my way over the Christmas period. Here's a little taster. Tribute to David Bowie. He would appreciate that. Just something a little bit different here on It's Just Not Cricket, ABC Local Radio, right across Australia, all part of More Choice on your weekend. Already 14 minutes past. Let's get into it. We're going to be looking backwards. Times of David Bowie in a little while, but we're looking forwards right now.
I love my glasses. I got a crazy teacher. He wears dark glasses. Things are going great, and they're only getting better.
Do you get a bit afraid when you hear these talks of all the new technology coming your way?
The future's so bright. I gotta wear shades.
My guest today, doesn't he? Joined us last week with the smart fridge, and we said to him, hey, come back and tell us, you know, what else is catching your eye, and by gum, there is plenty of it. Morris Mihalovsky is a business futurist and our tech correspondent here on It's Just Not Cricket. Hello, mate.
Hello, Glenn.
Nice to have you back. How are you going?
I am excellent.
Now, was this an easy job when I said to you, talk to us about anything tech that you've heard of that's coming out in 2016 that we haven't? Did your brain instantly go boom, 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 or did you have to do a bit of digging around?
Oh, talk about a kid in a candy store. It's not where we start, that's for sure. It's how long we have before we have to finish.
Good man. Now, we started last week with the smart fridge, and that was at that big electrical...
It was at CES, Consumer Electronics Show, the one that's held in Las Vegas every year. Nerdvana, as I prefer to refer to it.
Is there lots more that was highlighted at CES?
Yeah, there absolutely was. So they talked, when you look at CES across the 3 days, it's the largest electronic show in the world. It's the one that most retailers look at to see what's going to be sold over the next year. And geeks and nerds like me look at what's going to most probably be in our space over the next 1 to 5 years. That's what CES offers us. We talked last week, as you said, about the Samsung fridge, and there's been lots of press over it, but there's been other things that came out of it as well. A lot of conversations around the car of the future held. And for CES, it's only been about 3 years since they had any automobiles on show there, and it's gone from a very, very small space. Last year it was kind of like half a hall. This year it's gone to an entire hall with lots of conversations about what tomorrow's car will look like, have, and do for us.
Now, we heard a little bit this year about Elon Musk, and there were some self-driving cars. Is that what we're talking about?
We're talking about that eventually. Now, self-driving cars means that, like a plane, you and I will be able to get into the car and we'll make a choice. We can manually drive as we do now, and the car will do that for us, or we can push a button and it will take us where we want to go. It'll take control of everything until we get there. Now, that's most probably for us about 5, maybe 10 years away from being a reality on our road, and that's not because of the technology, but because it will take us quite a while to get our roads, our insurance, our culture, our driving habits, all kinds of other statutory things and psychological things in place for us to be able to use it. But you're right, Elon Musk, who's pushing the PR bandwagon in 2015, and I assume will do the same this year, has said that despite the likelihood it's not going to be practical for us to do it, he's ready to do it, and next year he will have the first fully autonomous car. Now, Elon Musk has actually been interesting last year, late last year, and also very early this year. That's the Tesla motor vehicle, an electric car. What he's done, which I think was extraordinary, is that he, for the first time ever since we've owned motor vehicles, has been able to upgrade and change the motor vehicle, the internal working of it, simply by a software upgrade, not by a hardware upgrade. And that's something extraordinary. Last year, very last year, around the end of November, he turned the existing cars into a semi-autonomous car in the way that on a straight road you could let go of the steering wheel and it would steer itself. And this year, he announced only a week ago that with another software upgrade, the car will actually park itself. Now, some cars will do that, but this you can be outside of the car, and it will park itself either in the parking garage or in a parking bay, and you can choose by telling the car where you want to go. It'll also open the garage door and it'll do all kinds of other things, assuming, of course, the garage door is electronic.
It's not going to get out of the car and unlock it for you and move it
to
the side.
No.
Not quite there yet.
So that's
an electronic one. What you're saying is there is that minor revolution in what we understand the driving of our cars to be is coming.
It is. What we're seeing at this stage are incremental changes. Many of them we've become quite accustomed to. Bluetooth has only been in cars for the last 6 or 7 years. Autopilots and things, again, are only a journey of 10 years or so. Many of the things you and I take for granted that are available on most motor vehicles are fairly new. We're going to see a whole new space, but most probably it'll take the next 6-7 years until we get a fully blown, very, very different car that's fully autonomous. But nevertheless, every car manufacturer, without exaggeration, is in that space. And interestingly, in the car space, we're seeing non-traditional players. Google, Apple, and a whole lot of others are playing into that space as well. So we will see what a car manufacturer is over the next 4 or 5 years. And I'm fairly confident that a lot of it will be in non-traditional brands.
Maurice Mislovsky is my guest. We're talking tech here on It's Just Not Cricket. It's 20 past already. Time flies by and 2016 is going to fly in, especially if Maurice's predictions for the kind of tech that's going to catch your eye over the next 12 months comes true. Let's see what else is on there. I'm going to give to you some of the keywords that you've kind of given to me at the end of last year and this year, and you can tell me where this is coming or going. So virtual reality, I remember you talking about.
Big time. We're about to see it here. This year's Christmas stocking stuffer. I know it's early, but start saving your pennies. We're going to see most of the larger brands in this space, that's the Samsungs, the Sonys, the Microsofts, Oculus Rift, and the list goes on, all playing very heavily with new virtual reality headsets. These are goggle-like devices you put on, and some of them are helmet-like devices, depends on which one, which brand. But what they do is to black out the existing world and show you a virtual world, digital world inside of them. Really fun, exciting times you can have in them, practical use as well. One of the shock announcements, or different announcements this year, was that we assumed Oculus Rift, which is the product that Facebook bought for $1.2 billion, was going to retail in the first half of this year at somewhere under $300. They've bumped the price up to about $500 US. So the market, the pricing for the product seems to have increased in the last couple of months. But nevertheless,
give me a sense of what that will buy me. What am I going to get if I put on this $500 headset? What's going to happen to me?
Not a hell of a lot to begin with, because the headset is really only the first part. Think of it like a mouse or a keyboard. It's a way into your computer. It's a way for you to be able to do something. So what you will need to do is to have a program or an opportunity to go somewhere inside of it. The first ones are going to be inside of the game machines. So PS3 and others are all on the starting block, and you will be able to buy games that you will be able to play via your headset. So simply moving your head around, changing your body movement, moving your arms around will do all of that movement that you might otherwise do by keyboard and mouse. It's quite immersive, it's quite extraordinary. So I've flown in these types of things to Mars and landed, been inside the human body, played all sorts of games, been through buildings that haven't been built. It's an extraordinary experience, and we'll see those experiences evolve over the next 12, 18, 24 months as commercially available things you and I might buy, download, or have apps for that allow us to use more of it. Very early days, but definitely see the beginning of that over the next month or two.
About Maurice is, I wonder, have we hit peak drone, or are drones, is it the rise of the drones?
Oh, we're going to drone on about drones for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, drones really only began last year.
I saw when there was that ski and the drone that they had up in the sky filming it fell out of the sky and missed him by a meter as he was this racer. So, you know, they were like, oh, and I thought, is that the end of drones? Clearly not.
No, clearly not. And again, anything that goes up must come down one way or the other. But that technology was actually quite incredible. That's a Bluetooth connection you have to your mobile phone. Just think about what makes that happen and the ease of making that happen. I find it still extraordinary. With CES, there were lots and lots of drones available. The most extraordinary one was there was called Ehang. It's a Chinese product, and it allows you to fly in it. It's actually a manned or a personed product. So one person gets inside, and it's a bubble just barely big enough for a person to crawl inside of, but the outsides of it are really just an oversized drone. A person up to 100 kilos can fit inside of it, fly for about 23 minutes, and go up somewhere about 350 meters in the air, somewhere there. Now, to have one of these, you need two things. The first, for some people, is possible. I'm still not quite there, $250,000. The second is a bit more difficult to get, and that's permission from any government on the planet to be able to fly it, because not one of them will let you do it yet.
Yeah, no, not surprisingly, probably. But what about this idea of, I think, like, delivery systems and all of that? Are we going to see more of the pizzas flying through the sky, or the stuff the TV have just bought, or something like that?
I think we're going to hear more talk about doing it, but not much action around it.
Right.
The reality for me is, again, that commercially they're not viable yet. Many of the governments will not allow that to happen. I refer to them as electronic mosquitoes. Do we really want all of them flying around, buzzing around in the sky?
Yeah,
we'll start to see some. Australia Post this year says they're going to trial it in rural areas, and trial it means that they will use it for some of their parcel deliveries, but again, very, very remote. As you've said, pizzas, Amazon, everybody else has said that they intend to do it. The drone that they talk about is available to $10,000 unit, not terribly expensive, has good cred, flies a reasonable distance, does all the things you want it to do, but again, the regulation of it is not quite there yet. Will we get there this year? I'm not sure. I think it'll take us a little bit longer.
Maurice Mizalowski is our guest here on It's Just Not Cricket. We are talking tech. 26 minutes past is the time. Is there one thing in particular you're hoping to happen? Is there an eye on science fiction that you've had for years waiting for that to come out? I wonder if this one fits into that category. Maurice, when am I going to get a personal robot who will, you know, carry my food around? I can program it to laugh at my jokes, that sort of thing.
Can you give me a credit card now?
Really? Are we good to
go? Well, we're close enough to getting something like it. I'm supposing that you have in your mind's eye the same thing that I have from 1960s science fiction, an anthropomorphic android. We're not quite going to get those, and that'll be a while off. But we're going to, again, this year, I think it'll be the Christmas stocking stuffer because of the price of them. We're starting to see them in the first quarter. We'll see a raft of various different types of personal robots. Some of them will be somewhat people-like, and the Segway brand that we might be familiar with has a robot that it claims is kind of like what you're describing. The one that I like the most is called Jibo, which is J-I-B-O, worth a Google and a look. This one doesn't move around, its head swivels, but what it is able to do is to carry on, like Siri, a conversation with you, and to be able to understand somewhat your diary and your usual movements and activities, so it can plan and tell and do things for you. I think we're in early days. It's really the first incarnation. Again, maybe 5 years from now, a little bit longer, they'll be a bit better, a bit more intuitive. But this year, Jibo will sell for under $2,000 US, and his or her counterparts, which have wonderful names like Furo and Pepper and Cubic and a whole lot of others, are also between the $1,000 and $3,000 US mark.
I'm excited about that one. Now, there's probably too many for us to go into now, so some of the other, I mean, you've given us a really good heads up already. I'll ask you maybe, I've heard other, you know, we talked about virtual reality, we've heard about artificial intelligence, I know that 3D printing is really developing, you've talked about the Internet of Things, smart homes, streaming, is there one thing that's really buzzing around your brain that's going to be the thing that you're most excited about?
For all of us, it's the fundamental shift. I think last year, and especially this year, it's a fundamental shift in what technology is and how we use it, and what we're going to be able to buy and do from it. up until last year, it was really about having and owning technology. We were really excited about the new iPhone or whatever it was, the new screen, the new box. We're past that point. We're moving into what I refer to as ambient technology. It exists. It's electronic. It's like electricity. It's like gas. It's like water. It's there. And what we're going to see now are a whole lot of new devices, more about the experience and what we can get out of them than having the box itself. And that's where the drones and the virtual realities and other things come into it. So expect to see devices, a whole slew of them, which are really about, as the user, engaging in various things. That's the big trend for the next 5 to 10 years.
Tech really becoming part of our sort of personal lives, if you like.
Yeah, disappearing into the background, still being there, but disappearing into the background. And as humans, what we're able to do then is to get it to do stuff for us and really experience it. For me, it's the change between DOS, which was a wonderful thing, into Windows. It's that kind of a change, or black and white into colour.
You're a champion, Maurice. Really good to talk to you, mate. Thank you for giving some of those lots to get excited about tech in 2016. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Always good. Maurice Mizalowski, business futurist.